We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1. Where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome to the Heat Beat postgame show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today on the bottom is producer and co-founder Brian Goins.
That was a punch in the groin, guys. Whoever's listening to this, God bless you, man, because I don't want to be here.
A punch in the goins. Brian, we have the listeners. We love our listeners. We love our friends here on the Miami Heat Beat Twitch postgame show. If you're listening on the podcast, remember after every game, we are here, twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat after every show with video. We are here to bring you the energy. We are here to talk you off the ledge. We are here to bring you the culture. We are here to give all of that. To my left, we have our 2K coach, Frankie.
I hope this is the end of the Kendrick Nunn era.
Frankie, would you like to duck to show the audience what your background is? I think it's Misato from Evangelion saying, "I feel sadness, but the tears just won't come." That's either Misato or Shinji. That's a very both Misato and very Shinji thing to say. So we got that going. It's also a hell of a mood. Where can we start? You guys want to start with Nunn? I want to start with saying Heat and Seven. Senpai notes in the chat.
It's not fucking Heat and Seven. That's not happening.
It's Heat and Seven. Have some guts.
Not against this fucking Lakers.
You let it go of the rope. You let it go of the,
yes,
go of the fucking rope.
Yes, I did. Unless Dragic miraculously comes back and has lateral quickness like he did.
Brian, it's very simple.
They needed Dragic so fucking bad this game. It's unbelievable. Like, he fucking tried to give it a go.
Put the Ava background back on, Frankie.
I'm sure he fucking feels like shit because he tried. He tried his fucking might to fucking play this game and he couldn't. He couldn't defend Chris Quinn on a fucking pregame warm-up.
I mean, it's Chris Quinn. Nobody can defend Chris Quinn.
The story today, guys, was the three-point shooting that has seemingly abandoned them. So, I mean, I was upset at Kendrick Nunn on Twitter. We're all upset with Kendrick Nunn on Twitter. I'm obsessed with the revolving door of dribble handoffs that lead to another dribble handoff, that lead to another dribble handoff, that lead to a shot clock violation, right? Like, that's the kind of offense that they were not doing. And it was a lot of there was not as much movement off ball. They were not moving with purpose. They were not slipping. They were not screening well. They were not doing a lot. And we can go through individual moments of the game. We can go through the Jimmy miss three to then the KCP corner three. We can go corner P taken, dunking off the dribble. But we can do a lot of that shit. And that doesn't matter. Like, we're all upset. We're all like kind of angry. At the end of the day, this team, which has made its money off its three-point shooting, this team that has set itself apart is because of its three-point shooting. Because against the Bucks, what ran terror was the three-point shooting and how that completely annihilated the Bucks' drop defense. And then you have against the Celtics when it abandoned them, they were able to find enough to make it. They shot like 30, 32%, 33% today. It's just not enough. It's just they cannot beat great defensive teams with that kind of shooting performance. And unless Jimmy goes for 40, 13, and 10, it's not happening. So you've got to hope that they're going to have this layoff and we're going to come back Friday and they're going to be able to get some screening back. If Goran can just somehow play, I mean, at this point, Goran at 30% has to be better than Kendrick Nunn. I mean, Kendrick was just... he was doing too much. He was doing too little. He was just doing the wrong thing at all fucking times.
You know, it's easy to blame it all on him, but it's also a lot of the Heat standing around waiting for someone to make a play, and Nunn has never shied away from a shot opportunity in his whole life. So, you know, it's obviously he needs to be smarter, but the Heat know that he's going to shoot the ball whenever he has a sliver of opportunity. And Jimmy not being forced to take all these shots and take control of the game led him to be very passive self. We've seen all year Jimmy's tried to pass off the best player on the team tag to Bam, to Goran, to Tyler. Jimmy doesn't want to be the alpha. He wants to be the ultimate glue guy. He wants to fit in, make plays, defend the other team's best player, rebound, create. And if he scores 16 points, he's perfectly fine. He has the alpha talent, but he doesn't have like the alpha shot mentality.
I'm gonna say something that I don't know if it's gonna be unpopular or I don't know how people are gonna feel about that. I think I've been on this podcast being an anti-Nunn person for a very, very long time. And by the way, tonight, Jimmy shot 8 of 17. Not that bad. 22 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Kind of similar to his game one numbers. You know, he's almost average. He's pretty much averaging a triple-double for the series. The issue was when Anthony Davis was sinking on Jimmy Butler in pick and roll, they're screening really high for him, and he's just not stepping into that really long two or that three. And it just completely discombobulated their offense in a way that I don't think we've seen all year. And game one, it was a lot of weird shit. But today, the drop in that pick and roll was just absolutely detrimental to what they did. And I thought the Lakers, I think what a lot of teams sometimes do that kind of creates confusion. And if you look at game three, a lot of the Heat's buckets were off Laker confusions, right? Because they have a lot of different coverages. Some things they switch, some things they don't, some things they drop. It's a very complex thing. So when you have a lot of movement off ball, you know, a team get confused. The Lakers kept it really simple today. We're sinking on these pick and rolls. And Miami was just not hitting their three-pointers, which obviously if you drop and you're not hitting your threes, that's great. And they were doing it on everything. So even that's why Duncan had a better game today. It's not magic, right? Everybody's like fucking pounding on Duncan's grave. You know, the bigs are not stepping up in that handoff. So now Duncan all of a sudden has room. Even if the guard is attached to his hip, he's shooting over guys like Caruso, guys like KCP, right? Duncan had a good game. It was the big stepping
the series.
Yeah, it's and again, when you're not sending that extra guy in that handoff, all of a sudden, he looks like a completely different person, right? So that adjustment was consistent. The Lakers were not trying to be pretty. They were just like, yeah, if Duncan goes off, whatever, we are not going to overcomplicate our scheme. And it absolutely neutered Miami's late-game offense. Miami getting a guard to screen for Jimmy and get that switch was not working. They were just keeping AD on him. It was It was good. It was too much Tyler drip. And as a result, what you get is a revolving door of handoffs with Nunn and Tyler. And in game three, I really liked Jimmy triggering the dribble handoff. Today, I didn't like it. Olynyk was just not the way he was. Again, partly because there just wasn't the space. So there was a lot going on today that did not go their way. And despite all of that, they were in the fucking game till the end.
Yeah, the Lakers to 102 points. That was a perfect defensive game that they played for what, two and a half games now. And they couldn't capitalize on this one. And it makes no sense because they had that first half especially, they had so many wide open three looks. Tyler Hero, I know especially, missed like two or three of his first three pointers until the fourth quarter is when he stepped up. But like, those are buckets that you need to make in order to actually push that lead ahead, because they could have easily been up by 10 to 15 points by half, and they weren't. And they basically were playing behind the entire game. I don't think they won a single quarter.
They won the second quarter.
Then still, it wasn't enough, because obviously, like, the last game, they basically won or tied every single quarter, and they fell behind a lot.
I don't think the series is over.
It was like 2 points each quarter that they were down. So like, they were chipping away at certain points of the game. And then the Lakers, like in the end of the third quarter, they got four free throws towards the end of that like last 30 seconds that honestly, if Dunn was not in fucking game, they probably wouldn't have had those free throws.
I think that the Heat are right there in a couple ways. I think if they kind of shoot, I mean, they've been shooting around 35% for the series. And I think if they get that today, they win this game. I think that the balance of a lot of quarters fell on some of that stuff, those way ass open threes that they were missing, right? All that stuff kind of goes their way. And the Lakers are then forced to change that drop defense. That Jimmy, the game really swung on that Jimmy missed three. That's not his fault. He kind of has to. I mean, we make fun of Ben Simmons for not taking that shot. Jimmy Butler has to take that shot. And that's the shot. I think Cooper Moorhead was the one that tweeted it out. That's the shot that's gotten him from Miami this whole postseason. You know what
He's
I mean?
He's made that shot too.
Yeah, like literally that shot.
They won these games, these close fourth quarter games, all playoffs.
They brought it back. It was a 1 point game at some point, and then Crowder brought it to three, or Duncan brought it to three. One of them hit a three to bring it to three.
Crowder. Or was it three or four?
And
it was,
they were
down seven at that point, and then
he hit the three.
They were down still two possessions of those 4 points.
I know that the balance of a series is very light, right? So sometimes it comes down to a weird Tyler travel, abyss three, and that's it. And like a couple offensive rebounds that just don't bounce your way. You know what I mean? So I understand the fan base is mad. I do think that there's a lot of stuff on offense. I did not think their offense looked very good today. I'm curious to see what their offensive rating was for the day. Brian, I don't know if you can ask Cooper Moorhead, if you can tweet him, or you can ask Christian or something, kind of figure out if you can get me that information. It just did not feel good today, and I'm not even looking at the point total because, I mean, I don't care about that. That game was played at a slow pace. I don't think
this series... all the extra possessions they gave them.
Yeah, I mean, the rebounding is going to be bad. It's just going to be bad, and the Heat are going to try to limit their chances in transition so they can't crash the boards the way they want to. If not, the Lakers are going to leak out, and they're going to kill you, and you saw a couple possessions where that got
them. No, I just meant I meant the Lakers' offensive boards, all those second, third opportunities that Caruso getting scrap plays. But that's on the guards, too. That's on Hero, Duncan need to find a body. None. There was one that late in the fourth, like Nunn's last minutes, where he just doesn't look for Caruso at all. Caruso steals that, and that's a big play right there. It's just those little plays add up, man.
Miami won all postseason long.
That's their identity. So they've kind of lost their identity this series.
I think that Goran's a big part of that. I mean, Goran doesn't.
Yeah, no, 100%. Goran's a big leader for them, as attitude-wise, offensively, and they really go as he goes. They're definitely missing him, but man, that's supposed to be Heat culture. The scrappiness we're getting out scrapped by the Lakers.
By Rondo
and KCP. Fuck my life. We lost to KCP.
I know, that's the worst. And I made fun of KCP for like, I still don't think that guy's that good, but whatever.
I mean, he had two bad games and then he finally stepped up in this one. He stepped up in game one. He stepped up in game, what, four now? So, yeah, I mean,
he wasn't that good.
I mean, he's bound to have a good game every once in a while.
Bam's only going to look better. That's the other positive thing that we can take from that. The only three Heat players scored in double figures today. It was Jimmy with 22, Tyler with 21, and four, Duncan with 17 and Bam with 15.
Best players.
Yeah, I mean, Crowder got 8, you know, Nunn somehow threw up a million shots and only got 6 points. 2 for 11, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Those two were three-pointers.
And those two makes were threes no in the first half. It just, you know what I mean? It's tough. And they didn't even turn the ball over that much. They had 11 turnovers for the game. So, you know, when you're not turning the ball over, you're helping yourself. The Heat don't beat themselves, at least offensively. They execute really well.
Yeah, Miami's bench, 4 of 18 overall, 2 of 9 from 3.
Kelly has to be better. Again, they without Goran, they don't have that margin for error scoring. They just don't. Like, without Goran there, you know, and the thing I said on Twitter was, you know, Goran knows when to do too much and when to not do that much, right? So, like, Kendrick Nunn only knows how to do too much. And that just killed. Like, Goran knows when, you know, like, when Jimmy gets, when AD sinks on that pick and roll and Jimmy stops his dribble and he immediately pivots into a handoff and then Nunn is coming off that handoff, Nunn's not giving the ball up, right? And it's a lot of dancing left, right, doing all that stuff, going to the ball. I made the joke, at least Deion has a damn spin move. You know what I mean? Like, it's really frustrating for them. I don't think this.
And Nunn's not even hitting the open shots, dude. Like, you could live with some of that.
He's fucking useless if he's not hitting the pull-up. He's not
hitting anything. He's not hitting anything. Like, he doesn't play good defense. He takes really wide angles on everything. Pick and rolls, off-ball screens, DHOs, everything. He's taking the widest angles and getting beat to the basket. He's not giving you anything offensively. He's not making plays. It's just inexcusable to play him and play him for that much. He played 26 minutes tonight. There's no reason for that.
Yeah, he had a bad shooting night pretty much all game. And
he
played the majority of the fucking fourth quarter too. Like, yeah, the first 5 minutes almost.
And that's on Spo. That's completely on Spo, because that you have an extra day's rest too, and this is a must-win game. Like, you need to play your best guys right there as much as possible.
It's not just an extra day's rest. Spo's going to get an extra day to prepare. That's going to get an extra day to prepare how to deal with that drop stuff, how to deal for Jimmy in particular. I mean, Jimmy played 43 fucking minutes tonight. You know what I mean? Bam
more.
Had the foul trouble.
Feel like that.
Yeah, he should have played.
It really did. I mean, but the problem is that at times he kind of disappears from the offense because he's not, you know, he wasn't really, and he took 17 field goals. You know, well, Tyler took more, which again, that's the problem. If you look at the box score and if you feel the game, like, as good as Jimmy was, 22, 10, 9, you know, 47% shooting, getting to the line only 7 times is just not good enough for him. Tyler was just more active. And part of that is Tyler can shoot off the bounce and off that drop scheme. It's going to be better. And listen, that drop has just bothered them. And we made fun of, you know, Tim at Tim_NBA for saying that Tyler is not good against the drop. And, you know, so far the Lakers have gotten a lot of fruit out of that today. And it wasn't like it was in game 2 and the Heat shooters haven't been good. And I don't know if they could win the series. I think game 6 is going to be a good game for them. I think that they're going to come out with what they need to do. I think they're going to have a better plan. I think Bam's going to be a little healthier. I hope Bam's not in foul trouble. That's the other thing that, you know, really takes him out of the game, especially when he's being aggressive, attacking, kind of going at AD. And then all of a sudden he gets pulled from the game. That's the other thing. You kind of got to hope that in the next game, he's not in foul trouble again, to kind of keep it going. And again, it's obviously a 3-1 lead is not insurmountable, but it's not a very fun thing to be. We've seen crazier things happen in the NBA. We've seen more talented teams than this Laker team lose up 3-1.
We need Doc Rivers to coach the rest of the series.
Or Steve Kerr. again, like, I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm broken. But I also
we still haven't had the good Miami Heat shooting game. There's still opportunities.
They played well all fucking series, man. That game.
They haven't shot well from three since game 1 against Boston, man.
Yeah, it's credit to the Lakers, but Miami's missing
the Lakers. They've been awesome.
Miami's doing it a lot to themselves as well. Like, they don't even give themselves a. a bit of breathing room with some of those, with all those open threes. But they haven't shot open threes well like the last two series. It's been ridiculous, like over the last two series, just completely. Like you would think they're due at some point.
The number to me that sticks out, the 2-for-7 from Jay Crowder, that's cute against Boston. Without Goran, he can't do that. He needs to be like 4-for-9, right? That's what you need out of him. The 0-for-2 from Olynyk, I don't like that he only took two threes. I think that you got to take more. You got to look for your shot more. You got to be assertive more. 1-for-4 from the field, obviously not good, and that one was the layup. Frankie, how did you feel about those little Bam KO minutes? Because I tweeted out that that might be telling for the rest of the series how they look and go to that. I thought it looked pretty good. I know that KO missed an open three, yeah. And they had a weird like foul on the other end that wasn't Bam or Kelly's fault. But I kind of like what I saw in the limited time they were together.
Man, Bam and KO have had like tremendous chemistry that like, I feel like the last, I think this year was the only exception, but the first 2 years they played together, they were a part of like most of Miami's best lineups, five man groups. So I've always been a huge fan of that formula consistently. Coming into the season, I thought Kelly might start because he just plays so well with Bam.
So did we.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a big fan of it, especially when with the Lakers drop system, it gives them more pick and pop options. You saw how good they started the last two games with Meyer starting. So I'm a fan of it, especially if you know, I think Tyler has struggled starting, you know, finding a little bit of his rhythm in different ways, not being able to see the game off the bench and getting and you know going against bench lineups also, but I think the shooting bigs really opens up Miami's offense for them. Well, you know, Myers isn't great defensively, but he competes, he boxes out, he's not going to get a lot of rebounds, but he's going to box out and he's going to space the floor, and Kelly does the same thing. And I think with Bam in there at the four, it helps size up a little bit, and you're not giving up as much on the perimeter, on the rebounds. Bam is very switching onto guards, onto LeBron, 1-5, and you have multiple guys. I'm good with it. You know, Kelly's a gamer. He'll compete and he'll make shots.
Jimmy was the leading rebounder for this team today.
Yeah, felt like it.
Yeah, 10 rebounds.
That 39. How much did Bam have?
Like the Heat didn't get killed on the glass. I mean, they only got out rebounded by 3. So like it felt like a lot more.
But a lot of those were towards
the end. How many offensive rebounds did the Lakers have?
Let me check, but it was only out rebounded by 3.
10.
The Heat at 39.
They had 10. Miami had 7.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, but a bunch of those were towards the end of the game.
Did they get a lot of second chance points? Because it feels like they fucking did.
Yeah,
it just they just got him at like kind of backbreaking moments. But I think that as a coach, and like if we look at this analytically, like we can't just like look at those big moments and decide you're gonna like make wholesale adjustments. I think the game plan is pretty solid. I think they played good enough defense to win the game. Clearly, the issue was on offense, which it hasn't been all series. I mean, that first half of game one was a fucking disaster. And since then, their offense has been grooving. Today, it did not look that way. I don't think it's Bam's fault. I thought Bam looked really good in his minutes, especially in the beginning. I mean, they were just going. I do think that Miami might want to pick up the pace a little bit. Not that they can't work half-court offense, but when you have really big players like the Lakers, and it'll help them kind of get stuff to the rim. The AD stuff on Jimmy and just AD in the game, I mean, AD was phenomenal today. Not just the blocks, but just the deterrence, just the fact that he's there, Jimmy. It's just not programmed to do that. That's another thing, the overpassing in the second quarter. Like, come on, guys. Like, shit. Fuck. Like, you do the work. You're at the rim. Bro, throw it up. If you get a foul, whatever. If you don't, you fucking put the pressure on the refs. Put the pressure on the Lakers to defend you, to take you fucking seriously. Stop kicking it out to Jay Crowder. Those guys aren't hitting. Like, I don't, I understand. Like, you got to get your guys going. But, like, part of it is you're watching and you're just like, God damn. Stop passing out of layups. It's like, shit, Dwayne never passed out of layups. You know what I mean? Fucking try to finish. You're a good finisher. You're a good fucking player. If your shooting percentage goes down a little, whatever, that's what it's going to take.
It's that little push shot that Jimmy has in the lane. It works so good against smaller guys, and AD just takes that all away. They you know, last game, they really did a great job getting AD in foul trouble early. Kept him in foul trouble, never let him get his rhythm offensively. And because of his foul trouble, he wasn't the same defensively. This game, they did a really poor job attacking his body and letting him get the angles on him one-on-one. And that starts with Jimmy. But you saw Tyler do one too. He had AD in transition, and he just missed the layup because he didn't attack him. And that's just, you know, that's basic stuff for them. They need to do a much better job screening AD off of Jimmy when he's on him.
I thought Duncan did great today at that.
Yeah. But the thing is, they duck so far off of Jimmy that AD can recover on it. And that's where Jimmy needs to hit those mid-range shots and pull-ups that he hit last game, but he didn't really take his money this game.
How do you feel about them screening a little lower? Because, like, when you're screening really up top, you know, Jimmy's not, like, a fast guy, so it's not like he's going to get that hit of seam. So if you kind of screen, not at the three-point line, but if you maybe, like a step in, Jimmy's a dribble or two away from the shot he wants.
Yeah, you could do that, like, from elbow sets, pinch post.
Kind of like what sets. Duncan and Parker used to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, kind of like that mid-pick and roll?
They used to do that. They used to do that with LeBron, too. Mario would set a little brush screen, and LeBron has one dribble, and he's at the basket already. And that works. That would definitely work. I would try to set what I would really love to see is more back screens on the ball from the elbow. I like that idea by you. You know, one you're going from 18 feet in, you set a little back screen on the ball, and it's really hard to recover there. And you put AD in a real tough predicament, because if he crashes in, then you're giving up the pick and pop.
Yeah. The other thing I like is maybe getting Duncan moving off a screen. Right. So instead of coming right into the handoff, you kind of have him curl off one screen and then go into the handoff. So, like, if you have a guy like KO, and then KO can slip because he's so good at finishing and catching in the paint. And then now all of a sudden you don't just have, because, like, what the Heat have done is they're just isolating themselves, which was really good against the Bucks, but against the Lakers, it sucks. They're just isolating their action up top where that handoff is happening. And there's not really much else going on. So if you can get a guy kind of screening and then diving to the rim, and then you can have Duncan come off and you have Jimmy or Bam as a trigger man, and all of a sudden, now you have moving parts. Now you can move because you can fake the handoff. You can hit the cutter. You can give it to Duncan with a man trailing, right? So, and then as AD defending Jimmy, all of a sudden you have a lot of decisions to make on what you want to do when the best shooter on the floor is coming off for that shot.
You see the new picture I have in my background?
I do.
It's from the Miami Heat official IG.
What does it say, Brian?
It says, burying the boats for Friday. I want to believe, guys. I just don't.
Brian, like, I don't know if they're going to win this series or not. I don't know if they're going to force a game seven. All I know is that I think for game six, they're going to come out with a fucking haymaker. I think that we've seen this too much. Spo is too good a coach not to adjust this way. And this is how the series goes. You know, you get a game, they're going to adjust. I thought after the first half, Spo adjusted so, so well. And then you kind of play that game three, and it's awesome. You play that game two that you just didn't have enough, but it was pretty, like, competitive, even though it kind of wasn't. And then you play that game three. Jimmy has a masterpiece. And then you play this game four. And you're in the game, even though I don't think they played well. And they're just missing that little bit, which that little bit could be Goran. That little bit could be some shooting. They have a little bit of stuff.
50-50 balls.
That game five is going to be important. That game five.
Oh, it's the season. Back against the wall.
That's, listen, today was not a burn the boats day. Game three, burn the boats day. Today was not a burn the boats game. Next game is a burn the boats game. I guarantee you, burn the boats is not sitting in that locker room before this game. Because it just wasn't. It was not a burn the boats game. Right? Now it's a burn the boats game. And Denver just came back from a 3-1 deficit twice. LeBron did it against the Warriors. This is not an insurmountable thing. And if anything, this all this Heat team has done is kind of go against odds. It's they always make it hard. This is who they are. They're down a man. Let's not forget they're down their leading fucking score in the playoffs. Like it's pretty insurmountable. If they get Gorham back in any sort of facsimile, like I don't know if he'll be able to come back. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he will.
You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Like podcasts, and there was one that I listened to which had Amin and Jason Jackson. They were talking to a medical expert. That injury specifically, it takes about 11 games, regular season games, 10, 11 regular season games for that injury to kind of heal up and players to come back.
He beat MD, baby.
Fasciitis?
Huh?
Are you talking about the Gorant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, man, I've strained my fasciitis before and it's fucking unbearable.
But you're not
I can't
Gorant.
Imagine.
You're not
no,
Gorant.
No, but I'm saying I can't imagine tearing it. And fucking playing on that. That's a whole different level of man that I aspire to be.
Guys, I see you in the chat, and I want you all to vent. Chat here on our twitch.tv/MAEBstream.
We're just kind of ignoring them.
I want you all to vent. I want you all to tell us what you're feeling. I'm here to bring you up. I'm here to tell you that game five is going to be a lot better than what we saw today. And as bad as today was, can we say more bad things about none? I don't know what else. I don't know what more bad things we can say about none. Amass 1992. I've said plenty. I've been dunking on none. I haven't since game
one. Is he on this team next year?
Of the regular season.
God, I hope he's not on this team next game.
Because I'm not sure he's on this team next year.
Gifting out tier one subs here on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. Got some positivity. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. We're affiliates now. So we got ads. So if you want to subscribe and not see ads before we start streaming.
Are we affiliates yet, Brian?
We are
M?
Affiliates yet.
Are
no,
we affiliates?
We are. I logged in. The first thing I saw was an ad.
Oh, really? We're an affiliate?
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that how it works? Our mod, Brian? Oh, hell yeah. Let's go, guys. Maybe the Heat didn't win, but we did. Let's go.
We got subscriptions now. In fact, we can actually start posting emotes.
Oh, we need emotes. We need Marcus Cavani emotes.
We got like a point system now. I don't know what we want to call it. I know one of my favorite streamers is Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park, and he calls it Shinoda Bucks. We need to have a cool name for our points.
We need
system.
A cool name. Anti-Nun Bucks. Yeah, so
that's
subscribe.
Not a cool name.
No, it's not. You're right.
Yeah, well, I guess we can have like ways where we can have like questions submitted if you use your points.
Oh, look at that. There's cool stuff going on in the stream
Hype
chat.
Train. What's that?
Please watch us. If you're listening on the podcast, by the way, we're doing these streams after every game.
Culture coins. I like that.
Culture coins. Oh, Amass, let's awesome. Go. We love it. One. Let's go. Yeah, guys, if you're listening on the pod, because we post all these to the pod and we post them all on YouTube, we're streaming this on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat after every single game in the playoffs. We've had a ton of fun, whether it's win or loss. We're here to talk you off the ledge. We're here to listen to you vent, give you a platform, make you feel good. And when they're wins, you bet your ass we are celebrating. There's a hype train. We are trying to bring the culture to you. Today, obviously, not the greatest day. By the way, I knew today was bad when my paddleboard exploded. I went to go paddleboard today, and my fucking thing bursted for the third time. So I am officially denouncing it dead. So
ooh,
we got another one out from my paddleboard after all the repairs I've done.
We got another one, another name, potential name for our points system. Oh. Gut Bucks.
Gut Bucks.
Ooh.
I like Culture Coins better. Gut Bucks is good.
Culture Coins is kind of cool just because it. Alliteration on it.
Senpai Note
cool.
says Beat Buds, but that sounds like Basketball Buds, which is another podcast. So I don't think we could go with that. But I love Culture Coins. Culture Coins is good. Gut Bucks is great. Gut Bucks is great. I know that we all like feel like shit. They played bad and they were in that game. And I've said, and it's funny because I didn't pick the Lakers. I picked the Heat to win, right? That's the first series other than the Pacers that I picked the Heat in. And it's just weird how good I felt about this series. And I think at times we've been able to see how the matchups have been really favorable for Miami.
I love Frankie just changing his background.
Yeah, Frankie changed his background. Well, he went from Ava to now My Hero Academia. So a real downgrade in anime
Frankie,
quality.
Do you watch anime?
Frankie does. Frankie was DMAB Rex.
Why don't we have you on with Solomon Hill next time?
Yeah, we got to get
because I wasn't have you on.
If he wants to come back, he probably won't ever come back.
Chat saying that Ethan picked the Heat to win tonight. Ethan, you gotta know better. Ethan better not try to go to the bubble. I swear to God, if Ethan goes to the bubble, Alf, Leif, God. Alex, somebody stop him. Leif, I know you still listen. Stop
somebody's, him. Somebody started a GoFundMe to keep Ethan away from the bubble.
What is Ethan going to do with that, buddy? Does that money go to Alex?
He said he wanted to give it to charity, but I was looking at that. It was
Alex's
up
charity.
Alex's charity. Like, Alex, change your name to charity.
The GoFundMe was tropical up for like charity. 12 hours, and there was zero donations. So
zero? Wow. I think the utility of making the GoFundMe is just a funny enough joke. I think it's worth it for that. By the way, Dwayne's finals MVP trophy is on the line here. Jimmy Butler better not let him down. I'm actually really mad at people on Twitter like calling Jimmy Butler like not that good. I was like, dude was one assist away from another
fucking triple double. Basically,
he was one assist away from another triple double.
Jimmy had a better finals performance than fucking LeBron ever did in Miami.
I'm sorry he didn't score 40 points, but like he look, Jimmy's like Jimmy should have been like a little bit more aggressive at certain points of the game, but I don't blame him for trying to get other people involved because you can't win four straight games with Jimmy trying to
Jimmy Loki might have like the third or fourth best finals like performance for Miami of all time. Like even if they lose in five, like what he's done.
It's top three easily behind. Well, finals or just overall playoffs?
Because overall finals, like a final series, like
finals. That's number. It's probably number one, actually, in my opinion.
No, I mean,
I think
Dwayne. By the way, when Dwayne had a 40-point game in Game 3, he followed up with another 40-point game in Game 4.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
it was like 39 or something.
It was a 40 though, and he didn't have a triple double, and he also didn't force LeBron to 7 turnovers.
You're right. He just made Dirk Nowitzki kick a chair.
He took a championship away from Jason Terry. That's
come on, what more do you want? Jason Terry's so fucking annoying.
But
Rondo's so annoying.
Dwayne's pretty much the only one besides Jimmy's game that I think matches up. Chat. The other playoff game that I was looking that probably would rank up there is LeBron's game 6 against Boston.
Chat, I want to ask you LeBron, what? Go, Frankie.
Oh, I was going to say LeBron's game 7 against Spurs was great. But I take some credit away. Like I take some difficulty away because fucking he had like 6 threes, but like 6 of them were wide the fuck open because the Spurs dropped to fucking the paint.
That's what Jimmy needs to do, by the way. What LeBron did, that's what Jimmy needs to do.
Yeah, I just don't think Jimmy's capable of that.
I mean, LeBron, by the way, bailed out by a lot of threes because he was not very good and he hit a bunch of threes
KCP
and not really
saved his ass. KCP hit that three KCP hit gave them such fucking life.
You realize that LeBron got hurt. LeBron got hurt towards the end. They didn't even give him the ball. They just gave it to Rondo to just initiate offense.
Oh, wow. One of your best players got hurt? Wonder what the fuck that's like.
Ugh. Yeah, and AD got hurt at one point, too, and he didn't really get the ball at all. Like, basically, it was LeBron just pick and roll. They didn't even pass the ball to Anthony Davis until that 1-3 towards the end of the game that kind of put it away. But still, like,
LeBron
they weren't
almost
going to AD towards the end of the game. It was just LeBron, and won more of those matchups because they got second possessions out of them, even though they missed a lot of threes towards the end. And both Steelers and Heat. Well, actually, it was funny because the Heat were shooting 27%. They ended up going up to like 33 for the game. But that's because of the fourth quarter.
LeBron had as many field goal, as many turnovers as KCP had field goals.
Yo, LeBron's been awful with the fucking ball. He's turning that shit over like crazy.
Jimmy's usage is like probably through the fucking roof, and he's like barely turned the ball over. That's outrageous.
Yeah, and with how much pressure the Lakers are throwing off the ball to take away those fucking passes, you would think he would have more fuck-ups, but he's doing a great job just hitting, finding an open guy midair.
You know what the other thing that pissed me off was? That Spo went back to that dumbass Andre at center lineup. I fucking hate that thing.
They forced like two LeBron turnovers.
I don't care. That thing sucks. Andre's been bad.
It wasn't. I mean, they only play a couple of minutes.
The Lakers' lead was like 7 at that point, and it was like really. I don't think did they ever take the lead after that.
No.
Like Andre at center sucks.
Chat needs to be nice to each other. They're fighting each other.
Right, chat, be nice. Come on, be nice. We fight with Laker fans, not with each other. Come on, let's be nice.
Someone says One Piece is greater than My Hero Academia.
One Piece is way too long. I'm not watching that shit. Chat, Ven, come on. Tell us what you feel.
I mean, they're basically just saying everything that happened in the game. They couldn't hit their open threes. We couldn't hit an open three to save our life.
LeBron dealt with a bum knee
to weigh his whole career Crimea River. Yeah, that's what the chat's being mad about because this guy's slandering Wade right now.
Oh, you don't slander Wade. Don't mind. Slander LeBron. Come on, man. Slander Wade. Come on. That's the playbook is slander LeBron, not Dwayne Wade.
We got a comment deleted by moderator. I missed it.
That happens a lot, Brian. I don't know how much you pay attention to the chat.
What else is on here?
Rob Slater tweets out, Lakers fans needed this one after their Yankee loss. It's so true. I mean, they're like the most. Listen, I think that Heat fans, like, we're annoying. As a fan base, we're annoying, which is good. We want to be annoying. We don't want to not be annoying. Our job is to be annoying, and we're good at it. Laker fans are so fucking annoying. My God, they're the worst. And I'm disappointed in Heat Twitter because I feel like Heat Twitter is not beefing enough with Laker Twitter. And I feel like we have had, like, after that game 3, that was our chance to talk shit. I've been the only person to be under fire from Laker Twitter. By the way, Heat Twitter left me out to dry.
It was you and Stugatz.
Stugatz and I were the only people out here against Laker Twitter, and y'all left us out to dry. I've never felt more alone. I was like, my community does not give a single shit about me. I'm here fighting with Laker fans, making fun of Kyle Kuzma and all their stuff, and nobody came to back me up. Not a one of you. I had nobody in solidarity with me. I just got beaten. Not even my own podcast co-hosts. Nobody.
We got one person that's on your side.
Who?
Shout out to Juve Jr. 13, subscriber Prime.
Let's go. We love to see it. Nobody else.
By the way, if you guys do have Amazon Prime, which probably a lot of you do, you know you get a free subscription with your Amazon Prime. You just got to log into Amazon Prime or Twitch. AmazonPrime.com/Twitch or something. Just Google it. And you can easily subscribe with your Prime account. It doesn't cost you a single dollar.
I think our moderator could make a script show up. Can you do that, Brian M? Can you do something? I don't know. I don't know how this new Fandangle technology works.
It helps us out because we actually do get some of that commission and can help us buy some more gear so we sound better.
I want to buy like a little, that's like a, Brian showed me like a little like switch thingy where I can like change scenes with a button. It looks really cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe we could buy Brian a nice camera so Brian can have a nice camera for stream. It's the stuff we do. Looking ahead. Fucking
What do you guys want to talk about? Ask us questions.
Ask Matt.
We got 10 minutes. We got like 10 minutes left.
Yeah, we got like 10 minutes left. Ask us questions. We want to include you. And by the way, you listeners at home, remember twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat after every game. These are fun after wins. Let me tell you. Today, we're reeling. But after wins, we got this. Why is Kendrick Nunn? Man, you guys really hate Kendrick Nunn. Jesus Christ.
Why is Kendrick Nunn asked? Because he got COVID.
Kendrick Nunn is a bit wear a mask.
How do you feel about LeBron winning his fourth against the Heat? Not good.
That doesn't even bother me. That part of LeBron, it doesn't LeBron bother me.
LeBron needs to thank the Heat. Without the Heat, he wouldn't have three of his fucking championships. That's what I say to that if they fucking win this one.
Like, legit, the LeBron angle doesn't bother me because, like, that guy's fucking good. Like, that guy's the best basketball player ever. Like, that's whatever.
I want to lose to him. I don't, like, imagine if we lost to the Denver Nuggets if they made it to the finals.
Nah, if we lose to Jokic, I'd feel better about losing to Jokic.
I feel worse.
Nah, I
another
feel
question. JJ Redick has been flirting with Jimmy and Duncan. Can we make that happen? I think that could happen.
No, no more bad defenders. No, 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 no more bad defenders.
Duncan can learn from JJ Redick.
No, he can learn from JJ Redick at a distance. No, I've had enough of dudes that can't fucking guard anybody that get picked on a pick and roll. No,
we could have used some shooting today. JJ Redick could have been useful today.
I want a fucking guy who could play defense, who could switch, who could do. No, I'm done with these fucking people. Yeah, Amasa's right. If he wants a minimum contract, we're all here for it.
Probably hiking for because if we're gonna get Giannis,
sick of dudes getting like
we got a max bam.
All their guards are bad at defending. All of them. Duncan's like gotten okay and still burned by KCP at the end of the dribble.
Who's a better defender, Bam or AD? Probably AD.
AD. I mean, just Bam's AD, not there easy. Yet. I mean, Bam's but a 30-year
Bam
player.
Be there. He could
I
be
mean,
there.
I mean, AD's like, you know.
AD's a lot older, too.
That's not fair to compare Bam's young Bam. As fuck. I mean, Bam's not in his prime yet, guys. Bam's a fucking baby. Bam's in his 30 year. Like, give him time.
But he should be first team All-NBA. That's my prediction next year. He'll be first team All-NBA.
I think the thing that Bam should work on in the offseason more than the defense, because I think that's going to come. I mean, the rim protection, I think, should get a little better for him. I don't think he's there as a rim protector yet. But the stuff he showed today and in game 6 of facing up, going at people, dribbling with purpose, that's what I want to see. Like, that's the stuff that really got him taken out of the game because of the foul calls. Because, like, man, game 6, Bam, logged the fuck on in that first and second quarter. And then we just never saw that. And if they're going to have AD defend Jimmy, and if they really don't have a solution for that, the solution is, okay, if you're not going to put AD on Bam, Markieff Morris, get the fuck over here. Let's go. I mean, that's the solution. You're going to guard me with these guys? Okay.
How do you guys feel about Jimmy guarding AD?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, they didn't really go off today. For the most part, their defense wasn't the issue. It was the
defense
the
was oddly good today.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was going to compliment.
The switching
focus.
Was fine.
No, but what they're finding with that matchup is Jimmy and Andre do a really good job with our
Yeah, as
with
long
their
as they're
hands.
Fronting, that was part of the reason they converted a lot of turnovers is because they weren't able to get good position when they were trying to post up, and then LeBron just had Aaron passes trying to get the ball inside the paint, and they couldn't.
And LeBron was throwing away post entries. That was fucking nuts.
That's the fronting is a Spo special. They've been doing that shit since the Victory days.
We got another prime subscription by the Riley Wilson. Shout out
Let's
to
go.
You.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. Like, that shit makes me so happy. Thank you so much for subscribing like that. Like, you don't understand. You know, Brian and I started this a long time ago, almost 8 years ago. And for you guys subscribing and listening and the download numbers, not to brag, but like the download numbers have been better than ever. I mean, we're putting out content like every day, almost every other day. And you guys have been listening at a rate that you never have before. I know that the team's good, but you guys have been there when the team was bad. You guys have been there when we covered Dion Waiters and Hassan Whiteside. So man, like, thank you so much for subscribing, for becoming these Twitch Prime stuff, like everything, like joining the Discord, like y'all are awesome. And like, thank you so much for everything, guys, like for being here after loss. I know it's tough. We're toughing it out.
We're being raided by Lakers fans right now.
Like, come over here, Laker fans. Thanks for the view. Thank you for the stream view. I appreciate that.
Clean
I love
yourself.
It. Like, huh?
They played themselves. They're helping us.
They played. You played yourself. Hey, thank you for the stream view by putting LA Lakers. Let's go, Mamba. Troll us. Let's go. Give us some stream views.
Yeah, the more you're on here, the more culture coins you earn. So.
The more culture invite coins you get.
Invite your friends.
Wow, there's a lot of you in here. Thank you for joining. You want to be Twitch subscribers?
That's we got to so come funny. Off like some good rewards for these points.
I'm telling y'all, Heat Twitter, we need to step up against Laker Twitter. This is just not going well. We have to step up. We're not at the peak of our game.
Maybe we can do like video game stuff. Maybe we can play each other in video games or something.
That's so lame. We need to slander and dox people. That's what Heat Twitter does.
Oh, that could be like a reward.
What are you talking about?
I don't know if you guys have Animal Crossing. I fucking play Super Smash. Or I can play 2K.
Settle it in Smash.
Something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Any other questions before we go? Any other questions, guys?
That guy cooked you guys last game. Fuck, I really
Tyler get Hero has completely outplayed Kuzma in the ex-girlfriend bowl. Absolutely cooked Kuzma.
Yep.
Other thing, by the way, is that, you know, like as much as length has bothered Jimmy Butler this series, I think he's gotten pretty good looks off Kuzma, off Morris, off a lot of guys, even off LeBron. I think clearly the stuff that's bothering him most is that drop, and I think that's kind of solvable. And especially what we said earlier, like if Bam can kind of take advantage of the mismatches on the other part of the floor. Jimmy didn't hit it.
Like, yeah, they go ahead.
No, go.
No, I'm saying they need to take their advantages where they can get them. Last game, they had a lot of Jimmy. Be success forcing the weaker guys. The Lakers have a lot of great guard defenders in Green, Caruso, Rondo, KCP, but they're not stronger than Jimmy, and Jimmy was fucking overpowering them at the rim last game. Their adjustment was to take all that away from them and send extra help early and force Jimmy to pass out of it. And Jimmy was too passive. He should have been more aggressive, trying to get more shots at the rim, trying to get fouled a little more. And the Heat not making the Lakers pay for sending that extra help really helped the Lakers' decision making on that end.
A couple things that I think for the 100% like biggest adjustments. I think first and foremost, please stop overpassing, Jimmy. Please stop overpassing. God, you're so good. You don't have to overpass. I think kind of involving more guard screens, attacking those matchups, kind of lowering that screen as we talked about earlier, kind of attack those seams a lot better, kind of get more movement off ball. So have guys screen for Duncan as he comes up for the handoff. I think that's going to help a lot. I think that's going to get Olynyk going too, which I said before, which I think is a big part of this, because if Kelly's not giving you what he gives you offensively the other games, it's just everything is like in the mud. Lakers are a really good defensive team. Anthony Davis is a really, really special player, and he absolutely wrecked what Miami tried to do at the rim today. So kind of by getting that movement going off ball, you muck up their defense a little bit. You put him in positions where he has to choose. And when you have to choose and when your brain has to work that split second, I think the Heat have been really, really good at attacking those teams. There was a play earlier where the Lakers made a mistake on a switch and Jimmy got space and went immediately to the rim, took the contact from LeBron and finished. Like, these guys make these reads and decisions so quickly. And I think the more movement you have in your offense, the more the other people have to think and the more that these high level players can get the kinds of shots they want. So like that's the stuff that was really missing for me today. There was just not a lot of movement off ball. And it just sucks because that's not Miami Heat basketball. That's not who the Heat have been this whole postseason. It's not the heavy motion based stuff. And it's just unfortunate because we know that they can do it. And I know that given, you know, the extra day's rest, Spo's going to be able to adjust, Spo's going to be do a lot of stuff. And I think that's going to work out pretty well.
Can't wait till we go back to the finals with Giannis against LeBron. and then we can finally have a fucking even series.
Well, I mean, if they had Goran, I feel like it'd be a lot different. Frankie, do you have any other adjustments that you're looking for in game 5?
The fucking backs against the wall,
burn the boats?
Off the court. You got to burn the boats now. They need to win the 50-50 battles, loose balls, offensive rebounds. They can't transition. They got to out hustle the Lakers now. They got to get Jimmy being aggressive. He's got to be the lead guy. Tyler needs to get going too. I need to see more from Tyler. It sucks because he's a rookie. You shouldn't have to depend on him for this point. But it's also the first time all playoffs that he's looked like a rookie. And credit to the Lakers for making him uncomfortable. But it's time. If you want to win this series, he's got to grow up. He's got to knock down those open shots.
Than a fourth quarter player.
Yeah. The thing the Heat are really missing from Goron is the pull up threat against the drop coverage. They don't have anybody. If Jimmy,
it was none for like the regular season, it was none. And then
it was none in Goron. And then Jimmy's not going to take it. None's not hitting shit. And Hero's not hitting them either.
And Duncan's not even taking it either in transition. I got your offensive rating numbers finally, G.
Woohoo. What do we got?
Want to know what I guess for game four?
Sure. Can I guess? Is it 96? No, it's too low. No. It's 104.
Damn, that was actually pretty dead on. 104.3.
I knew it. They've been at like 115 for the series.
It was their second lowest. 101. They were 101 even in game one. Game two, 125.3, which is insane.
Yeah, that was just
game
a shred
three, 116.2. Game four, 104.3.
Before tonight, they were at like 115, which is just like a really good offense. Like if you know, I think a reasonable thing for the Heat to get to. I think if they can get to 109. For a game, I think that's a reasonable thing that they can do to win the game. Yep. I think that
they could have if they made like three threes or four.
And that's what the game comes down to. I mean, a couple missed threes, a couple kind of weird, funky plays, a couple weird rebounds, and that's it. I mean, they get 98% of the way there, and then they don't do it. You know, LeBron hits a monster fadeaway over Jimmy. AD hits that big three, that big KCP Jimmy Butler swing. Heat fans could be upset, and I think they should rightfully be disappointed and upset at kind of how some of the stuff went down with Nunn and everything. But they're right there. They're really undermanned. I mean, their leading scorer in the playoffs is out. You kind of hope that he can find some life and get to go for game five. And if he can't, you know, like your offense has enough. We've seen it. If guys just hit shots, it's a lot different. So I think that's kind of where we are. I think we're at a point in the series where we're pretty aware of what every team can do. I don't know it's funny because I said this last time too, but I don't really know what else the Lakers can do defensively if Miami is able to solve that AD on Jimmy wrinkle. And there might not be enough time in games and stuff. So that's the stuff to look at. Remember to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at MIAHeatBeat. Follow me at GNavis103. You can follow Brian at ByBrianGoins. Frankie, you can follow him at FrankieG_. Is that right?
Yeah.
I got it. If you miss any VODs on these live streams, you can check them out on YouTube. We upload all the shows in full. Miami Heat Beat is the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. It really helps us, and we're trying to grow that. We just kind of started the YouTube. We had an old project where we tried to do the YouTube channel like when we started, and then we never touched it, right? So there's like three videos from like 2016 or 2015. I don't even know. It's really old. Oh, man, it might be 2015. And then we never really touched it after that, and we're trying to resuscitate it and kind of work on that. So please subscribe to that. Listen to the pod, Spotify, Apple Pods, anywhere you get your pods. Our stream in the off season, we're going to do some fun stuff. Follow all our writers and podcasters, Nikias Duncan, Brass Jazz, Alex Toledo, Christian and Christian, all our names. So thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you so much for all like the stuff. It's Heat in 7. We got the guts.
Let's go.
We got this. Let's go. Give Eric Spoelstra some time. Do it for Gogi.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. Mm-hmm.